history of the life of the Jamil, chapter 1, canto 6, text 46, translation by Srila Prabhupada. O best of the demigods, we can see three different varieties of life, which are due to the contamination of the three modes of nature. The living entities are thus known as peaceful, restless, and foolish, as happy, unhappy, or in between, or as religious, irreligious, and semi-religious. We can deduce that in the next life, these three kinds of material nature will similarly act. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature are visible in this life. For example, some people are very happy, some are very distressed, and some are in mixed happiness and distress. This is the result of past association with the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Since these varieties are visible in this life, we may assume that the living entities, according to their association with the different modes of material nature, will be happy, distressed, or between the two in their next lives also. Therefore, the best policy is to dissociate with oneself from the three modes of material nature and be always transcendental to their contamination. This is possible only when one fully engages in the devotional service of the Lord. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, 26th verse, Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitya itam brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. Unless one is fully absorbed in the service of the Lord, one is subject to the contamination of the three modes of material nature and must therefore suffer from distress or mixed happiness and distress. Om Anjana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yateha Deva Pravaras, Trevidyam Upalabhyate, Uteishu Gunavaitrityat, Tatan Yatanu Niyate. O best of the demigods, we can see three different varieties of life, which are due to the contamination of the three modes of nature. Living entities are thus known as peaceful, restless, or foolish, as happy, unhappy, or in between, as religious, irreligious, or semi-religious. We can deduce that in the next life, these three kinds of material nature will similarly act. The Yamadutas are explaining the situation of material life, how everyone and every living entity, beasts, birds, human beings, are situated in and affected by the material nature. And then there's unlimited combinations, mixed goodness, mixed passion. Prabhupada explains that you can't really find anywhere in the material world a pure expression of any one mode of nature. You find a mode of goodness, which is explained here as peaceful. Someone in the mode of goodness, he's peaceful. He won't be peaceful all the time, because sometimes passion, the force of passion, will overcome that peaceful person and he will become agitated or he will become restless. Person influenced by the mode of passion, he becomes very restless. He can't sit peacefully in one place and chant his rounds. He has to walk here and there and everywhere, because if he doesn't walk, he'll be overtaken by the mode of ignorance. So the forces of nature also working on us as devotees. We sit down to engage in transcendental activity of chanting the Lord's name. And due to not being on the transcendental platform, we're subjected to the modes of nature. Sometimes we fall asleep. Ignorance overcomes our attempt at goodness and our attempt to become transcendental. So even a person in goodness, he's overcome by the modes of nature. So this is the problem in the material world. No one can avoid the modes of nature. At every moment, at every second, they're acting on our body, they're acting on our mind. And we change the influences due to the foods we eat, the places we live in, the people we associate with, the work that we do. Everything is actually touched and influenced by these modes of nature. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he started a society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to allow people all over the world to live in the mode of goodness, to eat in the mode of goodness, to act in the mode of goodness, to think in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada once said that the purpose of ISKCON is to create a society of brahmanas, Vaishnavas ultimately, but at least begin by becoming brahmanas. A brahmana is one who surrounds himself with the atmosphere of goodness, sattva-gun. Because in that atmosphere, one can begin to think of Krishna. And Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami, explains, before a brahmana chants the Gayatri mantra, he will have to situate himself in the mode of goodness. Because the Gayatri mantra is completely transcendental. It's the sound of Krishna's flute. It's the whole spiritual world. Radharani is there. Krishna is there. All the associates, all their pastimes are there. We also hear from the lives of many devotees that just as we chant japa, or the Maha Mantra, some devotees chant japa of the Gayatri Mantra. They chant many, many times, 1,000 Gayatris. Prabhupada asked us to chant 10 times the Gayatri Mantra, Brahma Gayatri, Gopal Gayatri, Kam Gayatri. But some gurus will ask their disciples to chant 100 times or 1,000 times. So Sanatana Goswami explains that before we attempt to vibrate and serve and meditate on this transcendental sound vibration of Kam Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri, we should perform pranayama. Why does he say that? He says that because in our activities of running here and there, and he's addressing this to the brahmanas, to the pujaris who are doing puja in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Because the brahmanas are busy, they're running, and sometimes there's a little passion in their service, they're running here and there to make arrangements for yajna or for the puja. So they can be influenced by a restlessness or the mode of passion. But when one sits down, this is recommended that one does pranayama. Pranayama means breath control. Because this body is an arrangement of different modes of nature. The mind, the senses, the organs are functioning under the influence of passion, goodness, and ignorance. So when one performs pranayama, breathing, it actually, this practice of alternate breathing, different types of breathing, they steady the mind. They bring the mind under control because the mind is subject to the movements of air within the body. So by doing pranayama, the mind will become peaceful, become sattvic, steady. So then, after doing pranayama for a short time, then one begins to chant on the Gayatri. The idea is that we want to situate ourselves in a very peaceful, calm, and meditative position by doing this breath control. It's explained in the Bhagavatam that just as Vasudev begets Vasudev, by being situated in goodness, one can ultimately come to pure goodness. And in pure goodness, one can receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. So this is recommended. So even in our life, we're always trying and striving to situate ourselves in the mode of goodness so that we can actually perform proper devotional service. The verse that Prabhupada mentions here in the Bhagavad Gita, mam chayo bicharinam bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kapate, that sagunan samatityaitan, when one is actually liberated from the modes of nature, Then devotional service begins. Devotional service means pure devotional service, beyond passion and ignorance and most of nature. But in our position, our devotional service is mixed. It's mixed with our karma, it's mixed with our ideas or desires for salvation, it's mixed with knowledge, aspirations for knowing things or understanding. So in this way, it is called mixed devotional service. And the third canto of Bhagavatam explains the different types of devotional service in the modes of nature. So this verse, Mamshayo Bhichara in Bhakti Yogena, that when one comes to this platform, liberated from the modes of nature, which you can say is practically a level of bhav, it's explained that anarthas, the fragrance of anarthas exists even up to prema. Even in the preliminary stages of love of God, Krishna prema, there's some fragrance, there's some aroma of anarthas. So there's some very slight tinge even in the highest advancement. We see in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, it's told that Maharaj Bharat, that he was preliminarily in the very lowest level of bhav. But still, although he was in a level of bhav, he had some anartha, some attraction. He had material affection for other living entities. To have affection or compassion for others, that is good if it's Krishna conscious compassion. Prabhupada used to say that compassion for the dress of a drowning man, that is ignorance. And someone says, save my husband, he's drowning. And they go and they save the body. But the real saving is to save the soul. So real compassion is to preach or to give someone Krishna consciousness. It's compassion for the soul. So to have affection for others in terms of expressing your compassion by preaching to them, that's bona fide, that's actually acceptable. But Bharat Maharaj, his affection was of a different order. He had material affection for the deer. He became attached. And in that way, even though he was very threshold above, you can say, he became a deer in his next life. So this shows that he was advanced in spiritual life, advanced in devotional service, but still anartha were there. In our position, we're very, very far from the platform of bhav. Therefore, our service to Krishna is infested with so many aparads. It is infected with so many anarthas, which are caused by our imperfect performance of bhakti, and they're also caused by the prarabdha karma that we're carrying with us from our previous life's activities. So all of these contaminations and anarthas are mixed in our service to the Lord. Bhava Graha Janardan. That Janardan or Krishna, he accepts the essence of the service and he rejects the modes of nature. We're trying to serve. We're trying to serve our spiritual master. We're trying to put something into his hand, offer our heart, our life in his hand. He is requesting us to serve the Lord. So he's accepting our service. And then through his hand, it's being offered through the parampara to Krishna. And then Krishna accepts that offering. And he reciprocates with us by purifying us, Srinvatam Swagata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. From within the heart, he's purifying us. So therefore, even though we're serving the Lord in the modes of nature with contamination, we're becoming free from contamination by that service. We're becoming free from the anarthas and making spiritual advancement. Our attachment for Krishna is increasing. So because we have to start serving Krishna from some place, and some platform, and all of us in this material world are in the platform of ignorance and passion, or under the modes of nature. The spiritual master accepts us, and by his mercy, it is only by his mercy, by his acceptance, by his divine mercy, we are connected with the absolute truth. We are connected with Krishna, and our service is accepted. Krishna accepts the essence of our service. As explained, there was one example given that in the Krishna book, Putana, she of course in her previous life, it was told that she was living as the sister of Bali Maharaj. And when Vamanadev came to her brother's planet for that whole pastime, she became very attracted to Vamanadev. He's such a beautiful boy, young boy, dressed in deer skin, and it's Krishna himself, incarnation of Krishna, very attractive. She became very attracted, and she became filled with Vatsalya Bhav, with the affection of a mother. She thought, it would be so nice to have this Vamanadev as my son, to be his mother. And then a few minutes later, as the pastime unfolded, Vamanadev, he tied up her brother Bali Maharaj in a snake rope, then he forced him on the ground and he took away his whole kingdom and the whole universe, and then Vamanadev put his foot on Bali's head. And then she became a little angry. Then her affection for her brother superseded her affection for Vamanadev. She became very angry. What is he doing to my brother? She's putting him in such an ignoble and embarrassing position. This is terrible. She became very angry. She said, I want to kill this Vamanadev. I want to kill him. So one minute she was feeling like a mother. The next minute she was feeling her demoniac mood, being a daitya, in a family of daityas. Her animosity and her anger took the best of her, and she wanted to kill Vamanadeva. So there's a mix. She had mixed feelings. She wanted to be mother at one minute, then wanted to kill him the next minute. So it's explained that to fulfill her desire, Vamanadeva blessed her. And his next time he came, that she would have her desire fulfilled. So she came as Putana, and she had these mixed feelings. She wanted to kill Krishna, and she wanted to be Krishna's mother. So Krishna is very expert at adjusting all the dualities and all the differences. This is the beauty of Krishna. He's a great harmonizer. He harmonizes everyone and everything in such a beautiful way. Contradictions are all eliminated by his transcendental pastimes and synthesized and revealed as there's no contradiction in the activities of Krishna. Just like we see in a temple, so many diverse and different personalities come together. And somehow or other, it creates a homogeneous mixture of surrendered souls for one purpose, to please the spiritual master and to please Radha and Krishna. Everyone puts their differences aside, the controversies get worked out, the problems get dissolved. And this way, we work in a very harmonious, or at least ideally, we work in a very harmonious and cooperative way. As Srila Prabhupada was saying, that our love for him will be shown by how we cooperate together. So cooperation means harmony. So Krishna, in this pastime of liberating Putana, he very wonderfully synthesized and harmonized all these diverse feelings. It's interesting to watch how he will do it. How he will accept, how he will allow this devotee, mixed devotee, a demon devotee, Putana, to kill him and to be his mother. How will Krishna do this? So she becomes Putana, takes the form of Putana, appearing as a mother, and she dresses herself very attractively like a demigoddess. But on her breast, she smeared so much vish, poison. Enough poison to kill 10, 20, so many people. Because her idea was, I will go into Krishna's house, and I will get that baby, and I will offer him my breast, and he will take the milk, and he will get the poison and die. So of course everyone knows the pastime. Krishna went and he took her breast, he accepted her offering of the breast. He's offering that as a mother. Mother offers the breast to the beloved son. Krishna accepted that offering, and then he didn't accept the poison. He rejected the poison. He didn't touch the poison. He took the milk from her breast, and then he took out her life air. Completely took out her life there and completely purified her and liberated her and gave her the position as a Datri, as one of his nurses in the spiritual world. She wanted to be Krishna's mother. So this story shows that Krishna did not accept the offering of poison from this mixed devotee. He accepted the offering of Vatsalya Bhav. She was offering herself with motherly affection. So Krishna accepted this and rejected the Vish. He accepted the Dharma. Because milk represents Dharma. Milk is liquid religiosity.
So she was offering, the dharmic principle of Putana was the offering of her milk. And that milk represented her desire to serve the Lord, because dharma means to serve the Lord and follow the laws of God. This is dharma. So in this case, Krishna, he accepted the dharma and he rejected the adharma. The adharma was symbolized by the vish. Just as there's liquid religiosity, there's liquid irreligiosity. Liquid irreligiosity means poison. So in this case, it was the poison on her breast. But liquid irreligiosity can be anything which is against the principles of God consciousness. Anything which violates the laws of God. If you wanted a figurative explanation of liquid irreligiosity, you could say liquor or something like that. But metaphorically, irreligiosity means that which is opposed to the service of Krishna. So he didn't accept the poison, he took the milk, he took the dharma, he accepted her mood of a mother. So in the same way, in our case, we are also, our offering to Krishna, our service to Krishna is also coated with some poison. Just as Putana's offering to Krishna was covered with some poison, the poison intention. Such a poisonous intention she had. Her intention was so poisonous that she wanted to kill Krishna. Now, our offering to Krishna is also covered with some poison. But it's not, our poison is not that great. At least I hope not. We don't have the intention, I want to kill Krishna. We want to love Krishna, or at least our innermost core of our heart is that desire to love and serve Krishna. It brought us together in this movement under the shelter of Guru and Gauranga. So that is our heartfelt desire. But that desire, that pure desire, is covered by the poison of the modes of nature. The poison of our corrupted karma. The poison of our anarthas. The poison, all these things are the poison coverings. But as we explain, Bhava Grahi Janardhan, Krishna does not accept that poison. From us, he does not accept. He accepts the attitude of devotion, the attitude of service, and the actual service rendered through the parampara system, through the hand of the spiritual master. So that's why Prabhupada mentions in one purport, he says it's very important, what is our attitude of service? And he gives an example that if a pujari is offering the arti to the Lord, and he does not have an attitude of affection, he does not have an attitude of real devotion and feelings for the Lord, then that worship of the Lord is actually idol worship. He is not worshipping the vigraha, the archa-vigraha. He is worshipping an idol. He is simply worshipping the material elements. He is worshipping marble or stone. Idol worship. So he explained it's so important that when we're offering service, especially puja, that it's done with genuine feelings from the heart, with attention and with the feeling of devotion. So this is the attitude. So therefore, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is very concerned with the attitude. What is our attitude of devotion? Our mind. What is the thinking of our mind when we offer? And gradually, by performing devotional service with the proper mood and the proper attitude of surrender and proper devotional sentiments, we can come to this platform where we get beyond the modes of nature. Then real bhakti begins, bhakti yogena sevate. At that platform, when one is linked, bhakti yogena sevate, bhakti yoga seva, when one is linked, yoga, or connected with the Lord by pure bhakti, which is free from the modes of nature, then at that platform, seva begins. Real seva begins. Real devotional service begins. And that is a platform from which one does not fall down. And that is what Prabhupada mentions in a purport. He says that when one is transcendental to the contamination of modes of nature, then one can fully engage in devotional service. And then it says, it does not fall down. When one fully engages, the verse it says, when one fully engages in devotional service, he does not fall down in any circumstance. So this is, of course, we're in a conditional position. We could fall down at any time. Prabhupada used to say that the trouble with the Western devotees is that you're not afraid of Maya. You don't have any fear of Maya. You're so accustomed to Maya and so familiar with Maya that you think, Prabhupada's saying, you think that you'll never fall down. Oh, I am free from Maya. And Prabhupada said you should always, it's very healthy to keep a fearful, be afraid of Maya. Maya is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Servant of Krishna, empowered by the Lord to do her service. So we should have a fear of Maya and always pray for the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and carry out our service. So in this way, by sincerely trying to serve the spiritual master, we can make advancement in spiritual life and come to the perfectional platform of serving the Lord in pure devotion. So we'll stop there. If there's any questions or comments. He's asking a question about the previous lives of other demons in Krishna's Leela, whether they were devotees or demons. I haven't studied so deeply this subject. Bhakti Chaitanya Swami has given a class a few times, and he's studied this a little more, because there are several articles in a Sajantoshani that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote, where he discusses some of the Puranic histories of these demons. But our understanding is that several of them must have been devotees in their previous life. That is our idea. I don't know specifically which ones and what their previous lives were. But as we see from the example of Putana, that she was, of course, a daitya, but she had devotional feelings, and she was given a wonderful promotion. Krishna, she became a datri or a nurse of the Lord in the spiritual world. Sometimes it says she was given the same position as Mother Yashoda. Of course, Mother Yashoda's position is only hers, but she was given a position like a mother of Krishna, a datri or a nurse. So in the Puranas, they have the histories of all these personalities. Also, Garga Samhita and other books, they explain previous histories. And I can't recall just now to answer specifically who was who, but we can read and find these things. There's 90 chapters in the Krishna book. So that means every 90 days you'll start the Krishna book again. So that means four times. You'll go through the Krishna book four times in 1 year. So you read the demon-killing pastimes at least four times in 1 year. And then if you're in the movement for 20 years, that means you read the demon-killing pastimes 80 times. Right? So four times a year for 20 years, every chapter 80 times. So if you read 80 times the killing of all these demons, whatever the anarthas are, even if you don't know specifically what they are, but if you read very sincerely in a very prayerful mood, then the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam will definitely, and the power of Lord Krishna and Balaram will definitely act upon us to purify us. So Prabhupada, without going into so many details, he gave us all the most essential and even the highest teachings for bhakti bhajan. But of course our problem is that even the simple essence that Prabhupada gave us, we don't follow. We don't do it. Because our nature is, in Kali Yuga, our nature is for complexity. Complexity and complication. We want something more, something more, something more. But actually everything is there if we would actually apply it. What are we to do? We are to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly and purely. And we are to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are to share our realizations with whomever we meet. That's called preaching. So if we do those three things, which Prabhupada over and over and over explained to us and asked us to do, then everything will be revealed by the mercy of the holy name. And Bhagavatam, by the mercy of Gauranga, which you attain by preaching and helping others, and by the mercy of Prabhupada. Of course, because we have some intellectual capacity, we want to study more, and Prabhupada also encouraged us to read the books of the Acharyas and understand these commentaries, so we go in that direction. But when it's all said and done, if someone asked you, well, alright, you read 10,000 books. Say you did. You read 10,000 Gaudiya books. Now, what is the essence? What is the actual essence of all those teachings and all those commentaries? Well, the essence is to chant the holy name of the Lord with pure devotion. and to always remember the name and form and pastimes of the Lord, and to help others. Compassion is one of the symptoms of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. He'll always help someone. Even the strictest Bhajananandi, he will help others. Even the strictest Bhajananandi who's taken a vow to lock himself in a kunj, somehow someone will find him and they will get his association. So he will also preach if he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava, because this is the mood, to help others. So we see that. So these are the essential teachings. And Prabhupada gave us the actual essence. But it's so difficult to even surrender to that, because we want to read all 10,000 books. But Prabhupada gave us a perfection. Other question? Chanting Hare Krishna is the sadhana and the sadhya. The perfection or the goal is to chant purely. And the way to chant purely is to begin by chanting impurely. The process to come to the platform of pure chanting or Shuddha Nam is that we chant in the beginning. We have Aparad Nam, and then we become clearing stage, free from Aparads, the 10 Aparads. And gradually, we can come to the pure stage of chanting. The same thing with devotional service. Chanting is also a form of devotional service. So we're serving impurely, and by serving impurely, someday we'll come to the platform of serving purely. Because the service itself is purifying. That is the only way. There's no other way. There's no other way but devotional service to become purified. So we begin from the platform of mixed service, impure, contaminated service, and by rendering that service by the blessings of the Lord in the heart, that service itself brings us to the higher platform. We're serving in passion, and we're serving in goodness, and ultimately we serve on the transcendental platform. Any other question? He's asking whether a devotee performs bhakti yoga, then he is also accomplishing or performing the other limbs of yoga. For example, if a devotee is chanting, does that mean that he's also perfectly engaging in pranayama or breathing? But the real point of yoga is actually understanding the Supreme. The point of yoga is not to do pranayama or not to do asanas or stand on your head. But the whole point of yoga is samadhi. Everything leads to samadhi. To be fixed, of course, there's Brahman samadhi. There's different types of samadhi. To be fixed in Brahman, fixed in Paramatma or Bhagavan. Bhagavan Tishabhyate. So our samadhi is the highest samadhi. That all of our activities, all the activities of our mind and senses are fixed on one point. That is samadhi. Everything is fixed and concentrated on one point. So everything that we, all of our mind, senses, and words and activities are fixed on one point. What is that one point? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. So whether you're chanting or serving or whatever you're doing, that is the point, to be absorbed in Krishna's remembrance. If you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're remembering your material life and your mundane activities, then that is not the point of chanting Hare Krishna. That is not very proper chanting. But we should be chanting and remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna, absorbed in Krishna. So this is the whole goal of all our activities is Ante Narayana Smriti. The goal of all our activities is so at the end of life, we can remember Krishna. Remembering Krishna, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, gyajat yanti kalevram. When we give up the kalevram, if we remember smaran bhav, if our memory goes to Krishna due to affection, love, and attachment, then when this body is finished, then we will take our birth with Krishna in his place, where his pastimes are going on, and serve him there. So we're not so much, we're concerned about bhakti, because of course bhakti is the fastest way to achieve the perfection of the other limbs of yoga. All the breathing and other limbs of the angas of yoga are meant to bring one to samadhi. But that's the goal. The goal is not pranayama, the goal is samadhi and mukti. So the goal of all other limbs of yoga is very quickly and effectively, most effectively, achieved in Kali Yuga by executing bhakti yoga, which is centered around hearing and chanting about Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.